The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I figured since it's, what does JP say, high noon? I figured I'd pull my JP impression and let the music play a little bit. We like that, Landfill? A little bit of JP?
Now, you're already talking.
I mean, you needed to wait about another 45 seconds. Like, what are we talking about?
It's high noon in the District of Columbia. Toby Altizer in for JP Finley today alongside Brian Mitchell,
right here,
B-Mitch, and Finley on the fan. Wanted to open up the phone lines, 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. What is your favorite Jaden game of the year? When you think back to maybe Cincinnati, when you're looking at what happened this past Sunday at Northwest Stadium, what's been your favorite Jaden game of the year? For me, B-Mitch, it is this Sunday. Because this Sunday showed me that this dude can put the team on his back. And other times he's had some help. He hadn't had help this past Sunday. He didn't have help whatsoever in the run game. In the pass game, you know, the guy showed out in certain spots. Like you've talked about OZ playing well, Jamison Crowder playing well, Terry doing his thing. But, I mean, outside of Terry McLaurin, how many of those dudes are getting real playing time on other football teams? And they're able to go out there and make some plays, but Jaden is a big part of that as well.
Yeah.
He was the running game. He was the passing game. This team scored 36 points despite having five turnovers. Yes, he had the two picks, but to me, this was his best performance because this is a real team that you're playing up against, a really good football team, a really good defense, and he had no help, and he goes out and wins it for you.
Well, I'm going to go earlier this year because at that point, we didn't know how good he can be.
Yeah.
When he played against the Bengals and the positions that he put those balls in, the one he threw to Terry when he was being hit, you know, the things he did in that game at Monday night against the Bengals, I think that game right there, it's hard for me to get past that because at that point, didn't know
what
he was truly capable of. And now we know, but I go back to that one.
I remember with that game, B-Mitch, I've talked about how when you look at what they put on his plate, every single play has some sort of option on it. So he's not like your regular quarterback where if they have 25 run plays in a game, those 25 plays, you make sure they're in the right look and then you get the play off, right?
Yeah.
You snap it, hand it off. That's not the way with him, right?
Yeah.
Every single one is a read or it's a potential pass. You go back and watch the second half of that game. I don't think there's but maybe one decision out of every play in that second half where you're like, maybe I would have done it differently. And I think the only one that's different is I think he threw it to Terry when there was a guy open underneath. He was darn near perfect that second half. If you go back and look at the stats of that one, 21 to 23, 254 through the air, two touchdowns, 39 on the ground, one touchdown.
That's a 90% game?
Yeah, and by the way, we talk about having no run game Sunday. Brian Robinson, 16 to 33 on that one. Austin Eckler, 3 for 35, and McNichols had one carry for a yard. So it's not like they had much of a run game there either. And the Bengals, they didn't punt. They scored every possession darn near.
I think that game is the game where my friend Gil, well, still lives in Louisiana, and he said, man, he said, I watch this dude play every week, bro. He said he's good, and he gets better and better. I think that game made me realize that, like, you know, sometimes my friend can exaggerate, so I didn't know if he was telling 100% truth or not. And that game made me realize that, okay, I'm going to pay a little closer attention because Gil may be on to something. And that I'm like, listen, okay, he's good. But you had people, after he went through like a four-game streak where he was doing great things, then he had like a little hiccup, and people go, oh, man, is he really the guy? I knew against the Bengals, he's a damn guy. Well, you know, you just got to stay healthy. But I knew against the Bengals, he's the guy after that game was over.
What's the scout saying? If you've done it once, you can do it again?
Bam.
What you saw in Cincinnati, he can do that again. He's done it multiple times, it feels like. Maybe not to that extent.
Yeah.
But he's able to show you week in, week out that he is a special quarterback for this football
True
team.
True that. 800-636-1067.
You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener line. Let's get out to Rudy in Montgomery Village. Rudy, what's going on?
What's up, Rudy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Merry Christmas, B-Mitch, Toby. I just want to say, man, that, you know, the Cincy game was something special, man. The Cincy game, I remember calling one of my best friends. You know, he's out on the West Coast, and, you know, we watched a lot of bad football in that game. I remember calling him, and I told him, man, I was like, yo, Jaden's something special, dude. We're going to watch special football. We're finally going to watch some special football, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, bro. Appreciate it.
Well, and he brings up a good point there, that it's a primetime game. The first two games of the year, not everybody got to watch him against Tampa.
Yeah.
Not everyone got to watch, you know, the second game of the year, they moved the football, but it was 7 field goals. They didn't get the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, the Giants game.
So they hadn't really gotten a chance to get off the ground. Not everyone had gotten a chance to see him. His first primetime experience, and he does that.
Yeah. Listen, man.
Put him on the scene.
And it was more than one pass in that game where you go, did you see that pass?
Yeah.
Because I think it was the one, was it Terry? But they were running, and he threw the ball kind of behind them instead of out in front where the defender was. I'm like, damn, it's not a rookie pass right there.
No.
You know what I mean? So he woke me up there. And listen, after that game, the Bengals fans were like, y'all got y'all something special there. Like I said, I got about 10 free drinks that night. So while they were telling me about our quarterback, I was happy.
Commandante Tequila, what's going on, Commandante?
Hey, pretty good, you guys. Oh, man. My thing was this. I seen him play back then in college and everything. But now, the last game, 5 touchdowns, of a rookie, you know?
Yeah.
And then one of my friends told me, what do you mean? He had 5. So we had to look it up real quick. In the franchise history, there's never been an NFL rookie that did 5 touchdowns. That's crazy, you know? And especially using all those minutes and everything. Oh, my God. This Sunday, it's going to be wild. Use this next 2 games, it's going to be I don't know what word that we can use because we
blow up. No, just tell the truth. You forgot what word you were going to use. That's what you did, didn't you?
Appreciate it, Commandante.
What time you got up, start drinking, man? You forget words.
Appreciate it, Commandante.
Yeah. He tried to act like he didn't know the word. He forgot the damn word.
Hey, man, it's Christmas Eve. He's enjoying himself. You can't have a name like Commander
Christmas
Tequila and not
Christmas
be enjoying yourself,
some
right?
Commander, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, that you go back to Sunday's game, 5 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of cool. Last time that happened, 1991, legend of the game on Sunday, Mark Rippon. He was the last one to do it.
Wow.
Last one to do it.
Wow.
So it's pretty cool for the last Washington quarterback to do that. He's there in attendance.
A lot of things with that 91 team. I tell you, bro, that was a good team.
Good.
I heard that was a good team, yeah.
Yeah. Let's get out to Kurt in Ashburn. Kurt, what's going on?
What up, Kurt?
Happy holidays, folks.
Same to you, brother.
You too, man.
Hey, real quick, Toby, are you from this area? And if so, are you related to Gene Altizer?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of. But I am from the area, yes.
He was a race car driver. Anyway.
Kurt, I'm going to throw you back on hold real quick.
Throw him on hold. That thing went underwater real quick.
Yeah, let's get out to Jason in Silver Spring. Jason, what's going on?
What's up? Happy holidays, fellas.
Same to you, Jason.
What's going on? 91 was definitely a great year. I graduated high school. The Humpty Dance was in full effect. It was a great. That was my favorite year, I think. Absolutely. Yeah, reminiscing. It's all good. My favorite, the Bengals game.
Yeah.
You really saw that the beginning of the Eye of the Tiger. It's like had my daughter gave me a weird reference about Jaden Daniels. She goes, it's like one of the Star Wars movies. You saw Darth Vader as a young kid starting to get that gleam of evilness, of wildness. He's it's a bad analogy. I'm hungover. Sorry about that, guys. It's all good. It's but Green Bay is a force to be reckoned with. Those guys will look legit.
Absolutely. Jason, appreciate the phone call. Merry Christmas.
Have a good night.
Yeah, so I think he's right, though. When you think back to that Cincinnati game, even though it's week three, that was the first glimpse where, like you're saying, you saw some traits. Like during training camp when we're out there, we're like, okay, he's got some stuff. You saw it early on. You're like, okay, he can move. It felt like in the second half of the Giants game in week two, you're like, okay, he's starting to get there. Week three, it's like, oh, no, we've got the dude.
Because it was Monday night, right?
Monday night.
And everybody was like, well, he's going against Joe Burrow. How he's going to handle being thrust into that limelight. Didn't bother him at all.
No. He played better.
Yeah.
It's wild.
And you watch him now in big moments, he seemed to be able to handle those too.
Let's try this again. Kurt's in Ashburn. Kurt, what's going on?
Thanks for trying again. I think that the last game was his best performance because five touchdown passes are remarkable. And finally, it's against a winning team, although I never put much credence in that. But he did it against one of the top teams in the league, and that's why it's his best. Thanks a lot for coming back to me, guys.
Absolutely, Kurt. Have a good Christmas. Yeah, I think, you know, five touchdowns against an Eagles defense. And I think, too, and this is why, you know, when you go back to that first Eagles game I talked about afterwards, it felt like he was either confused or he wasn't seeing things, he wasn't trusting things. And I was excited to see him the second time against the same defense.
Well, he wasn't trusting things. I mean, people want to forget. The offensive line was in shambles that day.
They were horrible.
They had three guys that had three injuries each. The other two guys were banged up as well. And I know it sounds like an excuse, but it's facts. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that game right there, and if you don't have protection, listen, quarterback don't have protection, Pat Mahomes, Joe Montana, we can go all the way back, Dan Marino, John Elway, they don't have protection, they don't play well.
Let's get out to Jupe. Jupe, what's going on?
What's happening, fellas?
What's up, bro?
Hey, my favorite, I would say my best MC Daniels game would be the Bears, but not because of the Hail Mary, but because of that one play where he's scrambling, he's looking downfield, he got a defender on his back that he dives at his feet and he just hops right out of it with Bobby.
Yeah, I remember that one.
it's like he got eyes in the back of his head, and he's done that in a couple of these games now. So that's my best moment for
Henry
D. Daniels, fellas.
I appreciate it, Jupe. Yeah, I mean, he did that this past week where he's got a great feel of that. And by the way, it creates for a great photograph.
Yeah.
Guy diving at his feet and he's just jumping out of the tackle.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get a few more phone calls. I do want to get Jeff and Landfills here in just a second. Let's get out to Toothpick. Pick, what's up?
Pick, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's good? It's Toby, man. It's good to hear you. And Toby, you becoming a professional before our eyes.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to everybody, too. My favorite moment, literally, is I got three of them. The first one, Cincinnati, because he did show me, hey, I am that dude, right? But I think he grew up. My second one is in that Cowboys game, and I think that he didn't like that loss. And then this one here with Philadelphia, he was like, that's not happening again in the division. So those three all together make this one really, really special. But when he put that team on his back Sunday, it's because of that Cowboys game when he was like, we may have been playing in quicksand, but it's not happening again in this division. Thanks for taking my call, man. Happy Merry Christmas, Landfill. And the new guy, what's his name? Brian?
Brian's not here today.
He's out today, so we're just – he's out today. We're just stuck with Jeff.
I got you.
Yeah, we got Brown Jeff today.
Brown Jeff later.
I am golden.
Nah, we ain't going that far.
Yeah.
You're a little dull.
I don't know about that.
I'm golden, bro. I'm not light skin. I'm not brown skin. I'm golden.
Let's get out to Paul and Frederick on that note. Paul, what's up?
Hey, man. I'll have to say this last game because the team wasn't playing well. They had fumbles, which is uncharacteristic. Offensive line not playing well. But it was a reminiscent of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson performance to me, and it was like an MVP performance because the team wasn't playing well. That's I loved it. I thought it was great. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Paul. And that's kind of where I'm at with it, B. Mitch. Like the Cincinnati game, that everything seemed to work. A lot of it was Jaden. But this game, it seemed like nothing was working except for Jaden. And to me, it was the most impressive game because he was able to overcome so many problems. I want to get your guys' thoughts. Jeff, what's your favorite game?
Like I told B in the break, it was the Eagles game, dude. I know it sounds repetitive, but dude, B-Rob put the ball on the floor twice. He has no Eckler. He, of course, he made the connections with Terry, but he also made it with Lamide and what's that boy, Crowder, in the absence of Noah Brown. You know, those were questions in the past couple of weeks. Who's going to step up for the Commanders? And our second Jaden made it seem like, well, he didn't even make it seem. He spread the ball around. You didn't know where the ball was going. Because, come on now, I don't think nobody in their mind thought, okay, we're 10 seconds left, we're in the red zone, this ball is going to Jamison Crowder. Nobody expected that. Everyone was looking for the ball to go to either Terry or maybe Ertz. Nobody was thinking Jamison Crowder in the end zone. And
have you seen Crowder play, though? You knew slot dude, he's going to have some opportunity. Well,
and I think people are sleeping on how good a throw that was, B. Mitch.
Yeah.
Understanding
he threw it before he ever got there.
Understanding that that's a split safety look with the linebacker dropping. As soon as he gets the linebacker, know he's going to clear him, he throws it. If you look at the screenshot, Ben Standing.
Yeah, threw that's it what up. I was about to talk about right there.
He's not open when he throws it, but he throws it to a spot knowing that Crowder's going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And. I mean, it's just so special to see a quarterback in that spot. And by the way, I was someone that wasn't, you know, I wanted May. I was fine with either one. But when you look back at some of the knocks early on about Jaden or coming out of the draft process, throwing over the middle, that's as much over the middle as you can get on that throw.
All that stuff was proven wrong.
Throw in with anticipation, right? That was something he struggled with early in the year. That's anticipation right there. And red zone was something that we talked about in training camp that he struggled with. Lights out the last couple of weeks in the red zone. So credit to him and heck of a game against Philly on Sunday.
Yeah, and also, dude, 4th and 11.
You're right. We haven't even mentioned that.
You take some ankles and then you go get the first down?
That was no hesitation. He was like, I'm getting this.
Yeah.
Well, and 4th and 4, I mean, so many different spots where it's like, you know what, there's nothing there and Jaden makes it.
Yeah. And I think to close my point, the thing that solidified this is when we had it, when Devontae Smith dropped the ball and we got the ball back on offense, it's like it was secondhand nature to not even panic. I was like, oh, yeah, we got another chance. We got this. This is the score. And the man is calm. He's poised. Take us right down the field.
Yep.
Woo! Yeah.
He doesn't seem to get irritated.
I'm going to watch that game again tonight.
Not too many things bother him, dog.
No, nothing seems to. Landfill, what's your favorite Jaden game so far this year?
For me, I think it was the Bengals game because that was the first time that not only was it a great performance, but that was the first time I realized that we actually had a good quarterback and that things were just going to be different from us going forward. And that was a fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because you're right. The first two games, he didn't show much as a passer, at least in three of the first four halves. That Tampa game, they didn't have anything through the air. It was all him running, which was special, but there wasn't much through the air. And then that first half of the Giants game, same sort of thing, and they weren't able to punch in the end zone, even though they won. 7 field goals doesn't exactly impress you.
Yeah, the first couple games, he was fine. Not great, not anything like, not elite, nothing like that. He was just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But in that Bengals game, you
he was special in that game.
Yeah, that made me think we could potentially have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, you know, just kind of going forward.
Well, and, you know, we talked with Quan Martin when I was in with JP last week, and he talked about how when you have a quarterback like Jaden, and I think it shows up on Sunday, it should just give him the ball, just give him a chance. And he makes the mistake with 3 minutes to go, throws the pick, and the defense goes out there and thinks, just give him a chance one more time.
There you go.
And see what happens. They gave him a chance. Thank you, Devontae Smith, for dropping the ball. And he made the most of it. And they have a quarterback. When's the last time this team's had a quarterback like that, B-Mitch, where you feel like just give the guy a chance, it'll go win it?
It's been a while.
Not my lifetime.
Don't you think when he gets the ball, he gets an opportunity, the first thought is, we're going to score?
Absolutely. You know? I think everyone, you know, they talk about that with Kansas City.
Exactly.
To your point, basically saying, you know, maybe they're not the best team, but they win every game because the other team knows they're going to win the game. They go in thinking.
The other team, like, prime example. End of the game. Overtime, Baker Mayfield calls tails
it's heads. You say, damn.
Yeah.
He knew he wasn't going to see that ball again. You know? Yeah. Then they played another team later on. Same thing. Same reaction. You know you're not going to see the ball again.
Yeah. And it feels like that here in Washington now.
And I don't think analytics will tell you anything about that.
Let's talk to A.J. Perez of Front Office Sports next. You had craziness over the weekend, obviously the game against Philadelphia. But the RFK bill passed unanimously through the Senate.
Boy.
How wild is that? We'll talk to A.J. Perez about that next. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for J.P. today. It's time to get out to the guest hotline and bring in our guest from Front Office Sports, A.J. Perez. You can follow him on Twitter, at by A.J. Perez. A.J., what's going on, dude? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me on.
How you doing, man?
Just out here in California for a few more days.
Oh, nice. Cali, all right.
Nice, nice. So can you give us I mean, it was a wild weekend for this football team yesterday, obviously focusing on the craziness on the football field. Can you give us a quick recap of everything that went down Friday night into Saturday that allowed the RFK bill to get passed?
Yeah, definitely. We probably start with Wednesday, where it kind of looks like it was going to be in that the government funding bill, and then Musk tweeted, and then Trump reacted, and that got taken down. And the next two versions of the CR, which funds the government, that would have avoided the shutdown, and we did avoid it. The RFK bill was not in that smaller package. So basically, from Thursday and Friday all the way into Saturday morning, the lobbying effort was targeted at the Senate to pass the RFK Stadium bill as a solo bill instead of having it in the government funding bill, which a couple of days prior didn't look good. So it got down to the last minute. All 100 senators had to be on board with it. And once Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, announced it, yeah, there was no objections, and within a couple minutes, the bill passed, and now we're waiting for President Biden to sign it, and then the RFK Stadium site, where the team played for decades, is becomes basically the top option for the next Commander Stadium.
AJ, so I've had this mindset that they went 100 senators to zero. I believe that even these senators, they look at the pride of possibly having an Olympics in the nation's capital. They look at the possibility of having a Super Bowl there, multiple sporting events, different concerts. I think that the site is going to be, and people go, oh, no, it's not going to be easy now. They may want to do something else. I think a stadium is the place. That's what's going to happen because of how they went with this whole deal.
Yeah, and that's kind of like how they got it is one of the, you know, Mayor Bowser and a lot of other people in the D.C. government and even some of the bill sponsors, they never really hyped up the stadium. They never said, you know, the stadium and next, you know, the NFL stadium and Commander Stadium. No, they were focused on the parks and residential and other uses, which could still happen even if the Commanders, you know, do relocate there. But they were careful until Wednesday, and then Wednesday it looked good and until it didn't. That's when Mayor Bowser mentioned the stadium and other things, but I reported about a week ago now that this is what the ownership group, you know, this is their preference. This is where they'd like to see it. This is where the fans, obviously, we've seen polling and all your callers, that's where they want to see it too. You know, it's still not a slam dunk. There still needs to be the D.C. government is now in charge of it or will be in charge of it once Biden signs this bill. And then the neighbors may voice opposition. There'll be other, maybe some pushback for public money, even though it's, you know, that we don't even know that component yet. But it looks good now, but things can change.
Talking with A.J. Perez from Front Office Sports, you mentioned that, you know, you're not across the finish line yet. What are the next steps? Also, what's a timeline look like? You know, Mayor Bowser saying that they could get a stadium up before 2030. You know, I don't know if you buy into that or not, but what's the next steps? And then what kind of timeline should we be looking at?
Yeah, I'll start with the timeline. It looks, you know, she said 2029 could be a possibility, and that could be, but they're still tearing it down now. The old RFK Stadium is sat vacant for many years, and it's still being torn down. They need to raise that old one, and then they got to figure out if there's any remediation needs to be done on the land. You got environmental impact reports. You got all those other things. But basically now the next major step would be the D.C. Council. I think that's where we're several months away, you know, from that. Well, the first thing that has to happen is Josh Harris and the ownership group have to say, come to an agreement with the mayor, with the city council. That's the next step after Biden signs this bill. It's a long road, and we don't know what if, you know, how much public money, if any, is going to be available to them, because they're just the city's paying a lot of money out to Monumental Sports for their Capital One Arena upgrades and taking it over. So that's for the next 3 years. That's a lot of money lay out there, around $500 million.
Yeah.
So after that, we're looking, you know, I think shovel on the ground by 2027 is pretty doable. I look from now, I think maybe even or late 2026 if everything falls right. It takes a couple. It takes about a year and a half, 2 years to build a stadium these days. So, yeah, it could be 2029. I don't think it'd be much sooner than that, though.
Well, it was another gentleman was in control for 20-something years. He couldn't even get him to vote on it. This other guy comes in, and in a matter of a year and a half, they're voting on it, and it's going to be in their hands. Do you think it went that fast because of, you know, Josh and his reputation and his crew reputation more than Dan and his bad reputation?
It was both, Brad. You're right. It was basically a month before they changed the name back in 2020. DC basically said, "You're not coming here, Dan. You're not." You know. Then he changed the name about a month later, maybe about 6 weeks later, to Washington Football Team. But even then, that wasn't going to happen. You know, there were other deals that fell apart, Virginia and, you know, Maryland, that didn't go very far because of Dan. You're right, but it's also the NFL. You have Roger Goodell on Capitol Hill lobbying for you. You have the entire apparatus of the most profitable league in the world. You had all these owners, many of them who are close to Donald Trump, many of them who are close to other senators who are big donors to both sides too. You know, they don't always just give to the GOP side. You know, you have all those people, and you needed bipartisan support. And the NFL, you know, both in person on the phones, on Zoom, the commanders, all the co-owners, Mitch Rales, I got to call him out. I think he was one of the big drivers of this as well, part of the ownership group. So there was a lot of lobbying being done, and there was just no way the previous ownership could have mounted anything close to that.
Talking with AJ Perez from Front Office Sports, forgive me, I'm not super into politics, but how often does something like this happen? I mean, 100-0 vote on something for the Senate?
Not very often. And, I can answer that question, AJ.
Well, and off of that too, though, like, are you surprised at all that there was no pushback from Maryland senators, which could have derailed the thing?
No, it was Mike Lee, who I talked to. We had a couple of us reporters talked to after the committee vote in November. You know, he just basically said it was like a land giveaway to D.C. He didn't want that. And, you know, he was the last one they had to convince. It wasn't the Maryland ones. There were some assurances made, I'm sure. Since part of the original deal on last Wednesday was the D.C.
National Guard
sends a few jets over to the – no, and that disappeared too. That was not part of that new bill either. So there had to be some bargaining done. But it wasn't the two Maryland senators who were the final obstacles minutes beforehand. It was a Utah senator. So that was kind of different. But
Bernie
Sanders also I don't know. it was just basically Mike Lee was basically said it's like it is valuable land, everything else, even the government's paying a lot of money to keep that land up right now, getting no benefit out of it. So this transfer changes that. Extends, so they have a 9-year lease now and a lot of time to negotiate. And I think everybody, it became clear during this process that, you know, that this is where the commander's ownership, at least a major part of ownership, the ownership group wants to be. You know, that's then they had to make that deal with Maryland. So if they do leave, if they don't build a new stadium next to the current Northwest Stadium, they have to create some kind of end of use so it's not a white elephant out there in Landover, and that they made assurances to Governor Westmore about that. So that'll be taken care of as well.
My question is this. So they say the RFK site, what does it exactly entail? Because the armory is there. If they're going to be building all this new stuff, I don't see that armory being able to stay there. You know, and I understand the water right there, hell. Anything waterfront, you can do a lot. So they're going to have to build some shops and stuff along the water also.
Yeah, definitely. And I reported last week that it looks like the the headquarters as of now is going to stay in Ashburn. They're going to likely have a new complex there somewhere, likely where they are now, in a much better facility. Because those, you know, you were there. You know, it's been open for 33 years now, 32 years. It's the worst in the NFL, rated by the NFLPA survey. You know, they're going to be upgrading that. It's going to be a major thing out there. There's, because there's not as much room, because I think the city wants to do other things, like you said, Brian, other things with the land than just a football stadium. And they, yeah, they do, it does encompass, it's 174-ish acres. It does include the armory. There's really no major plans. We haven't seen any plans for the land other than, you know, they started, you know, they have developed part of it, the city has, with its, you know, with its current lease, but they're going to be doing a lot more. It could be retail, you're right, they keep along the water, a lot of things that won't just be a stadium, but it likely won't include the headquarters or the practice or their practice facility.
Any idea what would happen Northwest if they decide to move to RFK? Is there any plans there?
Yeah, we don't really have an idea what those promises the commanders made to Governor Westmore. There's going to be something, probably some mixed use, residential, retail, entertainment kind of district there. It's a lot of land, 200 acres. It's 30 more acres than what they're going to be moving into, basically, to RFK, if and when that happens. So there's going to be some kind of, probably, you know, Josh Harris acquired this land and that stadium when he bought the team. So it's kind of, you know, pretty open-ended there.
Last one real quick for you. You know, they saw something about the difference in cost for maybe a retractable roof, a translucent roof. You have any leaning of what kind of – they're going to have a roof on this thing, correct? Like, what are you most likely to think of with the new stadium?
SoFi Stadium.
It's a – what if,
something like that. That's sweet.
I would love that.
The SoFi is open on the end. That's still cold. I don't know. I think that's great. But even our thunderstorms in the summer, you know, SoFi would just rain. People still get wet somehow with the sideways rain we get.
But I like how SoFi is outside and inside.
Yeah,
yeah,
that would be it. Some kind of like that would be pretty cool. Yeah, the retractable roof, it's not really in vogue anymore. It adds, you know, several hundred million dollars to the cost, and then there's ongoing cost for upkeep that a roof wouldn't have. But there's
and then
still,
you have stuff folding from the roof, like in Dallas.
Exactly.
Like in Dallas, yeah.
Yeah.
So there. It looks like it'll likely be a dough. But I had one of my sources during this process not too long ago saying they haven't ruled out an open air stadium quite yet. So it's either going to be a dome, most likely, you know, with a small possibility of an open air. It's not likely going to be a retractable roof. But yeah, so that's, you know, we haven't seen any mock ups like Dan Snyder used to, you know, throw us.
It's not going to have a moat.
We're not going to have people surfing in the moat.
With the moat surfing. I don't think there'll be moat surfing here. Although it's a much more doable in Landover than it would have been much more doable in RFK than that mock up from Landover. Yeah, it's going to be state of the art, though. I think this is going to be, you know, Josh Harris has already agreed to a new stadium, which he's pretty much going to be funding with his ownership group for the Sixers in Philly. So
it's going
to, you know, $2 to $3 billion for a stadium, for a dome stadium here in D.C. You know, we're going to be it's not going to be a slouch. He's not going to do what Jack Kent Cook did and build it on the cheap, or it's outdated when it opens.
Yeah. AJ, appreciate the time, man.
AJ.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, brother.
You heard from AJ Perez from Front Office Sports. Next, I want to continue talking about the RFK sites. Is that the more important thing to you right now? Is that the thing that has got you the most excited, or is it the fact that Washington is on the verge of going to the playoffs? We'll talk about it next. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in?
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The NFL playoffs are almost here, but it's not too late to get in on the regular season action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers can finish the season strong with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. FanDuel has so many ways for you to pick up a W. Not only can you bet on who will win the game, but FanDuel also has bets for which players will score a touchdown, how many points each team will score, and so much more. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. This way, you'll be all set for the biggest games of the year. That's FanDuel.com/Brian. For your chance at $250 in bonus bets. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restricted supply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B. Mitch and Finley, Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. Thanks to AJ Perez for joining us, giving an update on the RFK site. I think you got something to show on the stream.
Got stuff. Yeah, let me show the stream. Look, we got gifts coming now. See this right here?
This thing is awesome, this by the way.
That's my college and my pro and my high school with this on the back.
It's a good look.
Man,
what do we got there? We got most career punt return yards, most career kickoff return yards, most career total return yards.
I had the thing in front
yards.
Of me, Jeff.
It's Bama. Awesome. That is awesome.
Sweet. And nope, I'm not selling this. No.
Got the Raging Cajuns you know, on there.
People start bidding on this stream, boy.
That's awesome. That's
that
really,
sweet,
cool. Really cool. Really cool. Really cool. We were talking about the RFK site and talking about where the Commanders are currently, where they're currently the seventh seed. They win one game and they're in. Their likelihood of making the playoffs at this point is really, really high. Which one matters to you more? I think for a lot of fans.
For me?
Yeah, which one matters to you for more?
Playoffs.
For you? Yeah, and that's where I'm
listen,
at.
Listen, the stadium stuff is something that's going to happen. And the stadium is something that you got to have the people with money and the politicians to come to an agreement. Going to the playoffs where we can see more games and begin to see the possibilities of what used to be. My buddy Slim just walked in. He got the old school jacket on.
Oh, yeah.
You start thinking about those days where it wasn't a matter of when. I mean, if it was when.
Yeah.
We're going to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? And now you get a chance to go. Because if you're in the playoffs, you got a chance to go to the dance. If you're not in the playoffs, you can't go to the dance. So that's more important to me. And if you're going to the playoffs more regularly, guess what happens? Everything falls in line for the stadium to be built.
Yeah, and for me, when you look at the RFK site, a lot of fans, you know, are very passionate about it, understandably so. And I get that. And people will look at me as a young guy and say, I don't understand it. I don't. Like I didn't grow up going to RFK. I've been there maybe once or twice for a Nationals game. Never went there for a football game. So I don't fully get it. I thought it was interesting hearing Joe Theismann. He was on with the Rooster at Army Navy Radio Row. And he said that going back to RFK would be a way to reunite the fan base and bring generations together. And I think that's smart because my generation just wants a new stadium. Mm-hmm. You know, I never experienced the stands jumping up and down. Never experienced all that.
It was special.
And I've heard how awesome it is. And so for people like you that played there, people that were fans that went there and loved it, that place is special for them. That place means something. That was winning football. That's what that represented. My generation just wants a new stadium. If you can meld the two worlds together where you put the new stadium at RFK, you know, I think that would be a really cool way to tie back to the history of what this team was while still giving an upgrade to the current facilities.
It was so important for the city, okay? And that can be a vital part coming back. You know, you build all the stuff that they've been talking about around it. That's the economic boost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The stadium was more up close or up on you, personal, in a sense. That could come back. Because like I've made the statement, and, you know, I care people who, man, that stadium was supposed to hold 90-something thousand FedEx Field, Northwest. RFK held 54,000. I've never heard FedEx louder than that 54,000. And whoever the architect is, if it's an open stadium, you better build it like RFK was because the noise didn't leave the stadium. It stayed in. And if you build a dome, you got to do some type of way like damn Seattle where they make that thing, that noise stays in there too, bouncing around.
Yeah.
And they sound as loud as the damn jet taking off.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff is important, you know, for a team. But there are people who've never been in it, and there's people that grew up in it that they don't understand each other. But you bring it back. I'm not just looking at that. I'm looking at Beyonce was out, boom. Taylor didn't even come.
Yes.
They come through D.C.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves money here. The Olympics possibly come here. That leaves money here.
Well,
the World Cup comes here. That leaves money here. You know, major college conference. People, everybody wants to do something in the city. We just saw the Army-Navy game. Would it mean more to this nation than it being played in the nation's capital?
100%.
So all that stuff is a possibility. And it's not 10 games a year, people. It could be every damn day someone is dropping some dollars around that brand new area.
Absolutely. I mean, especially during the season. I mean, look at the difference down here as we're in the Navy Yard. Look at the difference here with Nats Park and the stuff that's built up around here. People come down here. You know, it's not maybe as much outside of Nats season, but during the season, people down here all the time going to the restaurants, doing the different stuff. And I think getting it back to that RFK site is going to be big because I think it's a huge indictment on really our area. Not that we have anything to do with it, but that the biggest pop star in the entire world skipped coming to D.C., like you said. The World Cup comes to the United States, Mexico, and Canada in 2026. You know where they're not playing? The nation's capital. Yeah, you think if they were playing the World Cup in France, they'd skip Paris?
No.
If they're playing in England, they're going to skip London?
No.
They're not skipping their nation's capital, but they are here.
JP made the statement that all of the greatest cities have nice stadiums.
Absolutely.
So something where you can attract some of the biggest performances and things going on in the world. Why not here?
And especially, too, sports is bigger in our country than anywhere else. Like, we care. Every single Sunday, we are glued to our television. On Saturday, we're glued to the television. When
you
football
just say
season
any
ends,
day during the week where we have a major sporting event,
exactly
we're paying attention
right.
To it.
When football season ends, we're checking out basketball. We're checking out baseball.
Totally.
People are getting more into soccer. People are checking out pickleball now. Like, it doesn't matter. People are all into sports here, and the fact that the nation's capital doesn't have that right now is disappointing. But if they can get that back to RFK,
but think about
it's awesome.
If RFK is built, that is basically right there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it's a stone's throw away. Then you have the baseball stadium. Right over here, you have the damn the Audi Field.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball arena, which is being upgraded. You have some stuff going on. You got everything boom, 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 right there. So it can be something major. I understand the people that want to throw the negatives out there. I think it could be a way bigger positive than it is a negative.
Absolutely. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to take a look at the NFL power rankings, taking a look around the National Football League, see where they have people stacked up after week 16 of the NFL season going into week 17 tomorrow. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.